Hello, my peeps, and welcome to Sistine Chapel. Do you get it?
No.
Sis, like cisgender, teen, because we're teens, and chapel, because we're talking about religion. Sistine Chapel. Woo! Okay. Anyways, I'm your host, Aisha, and this today I have with me Haley. Say hello.
I'm Haley.
Occupation?
Red Robin.
No, I mean like student.
I attended Nova Community College and now I'm going to VCU.
Woo! What's your major?
Well, it changed, but I'm going to VCU to be a photographer.
Slay. I'm Aisha. Again, as I said, I go to Mary Washington and I study international relations and political science. All right, so today's podcast, of course, the rest of the title is religion through the teens' eyes. Basically how religion shaped us, how we shaped ourselves, how society shaped us, how religion plays a role in society, all of the greatness and all of the above. So today is kind of an eating one. Anyways, that's great. So, we're going to start off. Basically, I ask you a few questions, and you kind of answer, and it's kind of just a conversational-based one as we go. Got it?
Got it.
All right. So, the first thing I want to ask you that I ask all my guests on this beautiful, beautiful show, are you religious? Or do you consider yourself religious?
Yes, but it has evolved over time.
Okay, can you please explain?
I grew up in a Catholic household. I still do, but I have kind of eased out of it, I guess, or like eased away from it more than my family has. But I wouldn't say that I'm like far gone and I don't believe in any of it. I just, some of the church's teachings are a little goofy.
So that's what we're going to actually be talking about today in this episode of if you do consider yourself religious or if you don't, why? And basically, like, how so on that spectrum of where you are on that. Because obviously not everyone's the same. Some people can view you as religious just for saying that you're Christian. But then, you know, like, of course, you said that you don't agree with a lot of the things that happens in the church and everything. So it's just different from there. I also wanted to state the point that religion is different for everyone and how they get to that path is different, of course. So that's why I wanted to talk to multiple different people, because at the same time, people see it as just one strict following way, but obviously it's way more complex than you can ever see. So continuing from there, we like to talk about primary sources in our class, and I wanted to ask about basically, I wanted to ask you why you see yourself as this, as like, basically just you see yourself as religious, but also like it's kind of different for you and it's kind of nitpicky in the way of how you describe it.
You're asking why?
Yeah, like basically like what shaped you to be this way? Like why do you see yourself as you're religious but not, you know, like not like your parents at this point or something?
I think it just has to deal with like growing up and experiencing new things, like getting a job and like being away from your parents. Because I went to community college, I was still home, but like making new friends and like going out and experiencing different things kind of like changes how you've been like looking in one direction for a while, I guess. And it also opens up just like the spectrum when, because like it's like an umbrella with like Christianity, like Catholicism, like all that, all these like different little ones. You hear about like more different things that they talk about and you're like, well, why does my church teach this, but the other ones are like more chill on certain topics or whatever. And you just, you know, people talking and even people who aren't religious, you hear their aspects on certain topics and you're like, wow, I never thought of it that way when they explain it in their view. So I wouldn't say that I, like, totally left my religion, because I still do believe in, like, a lot of certain things. I wouldn't say that I would just, like, abandon it, but it's definitely, like, changed for me.
I get that. I would say that I'm at a different point in my life than how I was a couple years ago, because I feel like A couple years ago, I was that, you know, picture-perfect Muslim of praying five times a day and, you know, going to Saturday and Sunday school and different things. But of course, you know, as I grew up, I started contradicting some things in my religion. I didn't steer away from my religion. I just kind of, like, asked more questions, and I guess it just wasn't liked within the community that I was in, especially because it was a lot of, you know, closed-minded people, so I wouldn't blame the religion, I would just say over the culture itself. So just feeling that community basically just, you know, encroaching on you, you kind of want to steer away. But then with going to college, I feel like I actually became more religious there just from seeing different, you know, the culture shock that I had there. A lot of people would think that it would, you know, take me away from religion in a way, but it kind of brought me closer to it. Of course, I don't pray five times a day still. I try, I really do try, but of course, I do have work from, like, four to God knows when. So, you know, like, it really does take a toll on that. Like, I can't, you know, as a server, I can't leave everything and be like, okay, guys, I gotta go pray.
BRB. Give me 1 second.
BRB, gotta go pray.
In,
you know,
the,
like,
freezer.
Like, you see, like, it just, there's a lot of things, especially with, you know, how, like, Muslims pray. It's a whole issue of whether, like, oh, it makes people feel uncomfy and different things like this, which is another point that actually we can kind of dive into right now because I wanted to talk about this. Let me find the article as well so I can find this for you guys. But there was this huge topic that I like to talk about too, is like, you know, when I'm back in Egypt, all you can hear basically is like any time of the day, obviously for the five times a day for prayer, you'll hear the prayer call. You've heard it before in my house because I have the clock that does it, but you hear it every time. Like, it's like wherever you are, there is a mosque there, like, and you will hear it because we put it, like, we broadcast it on the mic and everything, and you can hear it from outside. And I love it. It's actually beautiful, depending on who does it though, because some people are not very good, but it's okay. We're still going strong, you know? But yeah, I love hearing it, especially when I'm back home. I just feel like it's this sense of culture, and it's also the sense of, like, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable in everything because, you know, I hear something very familiar. So because of that, and you hearing that, you know, we do have it as a calling out prayer. They were trying to do the same thing in America, and I forgot which state it was, but they basically had a conversation with the community about it. And they were like, no, like, that's wrong, like, I don't want to be hearing this, I don't want to do this, and then the other people were like, it could be triggering to 9/11 victims and different things, which I find very differently. Like, I get the whole thing of like, oh, Allahu Akbar and blah blah could be triggering to them, but at the same time, that all that means is God is great. It's just unfortunate that people who we don't consider Muslim in the first place, you know, used it as that. But the thing is like, they denied it from that by saying like, oh, because it's dangerous and because it doesn't, it's not comfortable for them, but they're not seeing it as, hey, I thought this country voiced religious freedom and everything. Why can't we do something as little as this, where it's just, you know, over a mic that you can hear? Especially because if you see, like, especially here in Manassas, I see, like, a lot of churches, and I mean, like, a lot. And they're, like, a lot of them are clustered together, too.
Yeah.
But I don't see many mosques. I have to go 15 minutes away from here to go to a mosque. That's not actually that great, because I just don't like their ways of it, and it's not really a cultural community. And then I have to drive, like, for Eid and different things. We have to go all the way to D.C., or sometimes we go closer to the Fairfax one or the Falls Church one, but you see, like, it's so spread out in the way that it's not as easy to just, you know, go to one. So it's just, like, I like to tell people about this because at the same time, like, people think that in America especially, it's just an easier, it's an easier lifestyle, different things, but they don't think about when people come with religion, come with their culture, it's not as easily accepted. So, I know that, you know, because you grew up Christian, it's not as the same, but, did you ever see, like, with different religions, either from your friends or from schools or different things that you saw where you're like, yeah, that actually is unfair in that eye?
I definitely, especially in, like, when you, go to school, I guess it's, like, changed a little bit over time, but even, like, simple, like, tiny things, like, people would say Christmas break, even though there's plenty of holidays throughout that time, or, I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know, I'm stuck.
We can loop.
That's something I was gonna say.
We can loop back to that. You actually reminded me also with the whole Christmas break thing. This happened at work, by the way. Primary source! Ding, 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 woo! We gotta do that a lot for different primary sources. Anytime you have a story, primary source! Okay? You gotta scream it.
Primary source! Anybody with headphones? My bad.
Sorry, Professor Barry. It's just... but yeah, it's... Oh, I thought he was like... I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So, especially with that. So, you know, both of us are Red Robin employees. Woo, woo, woo! Shout out to Red Robin.
Red Robin. Yeah.
But a huge problem that has occurred, especially during the holidays, is obviously I do not celebrate Christmas. And even if I were somehow Christian, I would be, yeah, I would be Coptic Christian. Which, like in Egypt, is Coptic Christianity, and that's basically Orthodox, and they celebrate it January 7th, not December 25th. Because I am, you know, of the Muslim kind, I obviously took those extra shifts and I worked during, like, Christmas break and, you know, different things like this, because also, like, what was I gonna do anyway? So I was like, yeah, sure, more money. And when I would go, I never wanted to say Merry Christmas. Like, sometimes I would say it, of course, because, you know, there are people who, you know, they say, like, Merry Christmas, blah, 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 and it's, like, very, like, in-tune word with a lot of things that we do. But also, I was like, no, because me, I don't celebrate Christmas, and a lot of people don't celebrate Christmas for different reasons, so I always say Happy Holidays. So I would always say Happy Holidays to my tables, or just, you know, as a host, you know, like, bye, Happy Holidays, have a great night, enjoy the holidays, blah, blah. Sorry, continuing. Basically, with the Happy Holidays, they're like, Merry Christmas, and they'll look at me like, you know, like a... Like, different things like this, and I'm
You're
like,
wrong.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know why I offended you by just by saying, like, because I mean, happy holidays, it's December, there's Kwanzaa.
It still includes Christmas. Yeah, it still includes Christmas.
I'm not saying happy holidays except Christmas, because no, like, it's like any religious, like, celebration or any celebration, of course, because there's winter solstice, there's Kwanzaa, there's Hanukkah, there's different things like this that people see in these winter holidays, but people only want to acknowledge, like, Christianity and Christmas.
I hear the argument, like, plenty of times, though, is that, like, even though, like, people could argue, you know, like, people came here for religious freedom, all that stuff, they're like, well, America is very, like, Christian-based, so yeah, you say, like, Christmas break, Merry Christmas, but it's like, you're totally ignoring a large part of the population that is not within that religion or any religion at all.
No, it's actually kind of crazy that they say, like, oh, Christian-based this and different things, because America doesn't have a, like, national religion like that. And the thing is, it's, like, it's the same as, like, we don't really have a national language. It's, like, English and Spanish as well. It's a lot of things that basically, it seems like anything that is uncomfortable, sorry, Haley, for the white man.
Hey, I'm a woman.
Well, your pops isn't, so I was like, for the white man. It's seen as something either dangerous or disrespectful or... derogatory in a way or something, and it's crazy to think about that, because at the same time there are so many things that are, like, peaceful and beautiful if you really look at it for what it is, but then a lot of people try to demonize it or kind of make it in, like, I want to make a new word, like, a monsterize it, basically monster, you know, like
monster.
I was thinking of, you know, Patrick Stinky. So
Stinky.
Like the So, like, it's really crazy to see that, to be honest, because, I mean, like, again, like, that whole preach of religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of this, freedom of that, the freedom of assembly, and at the same time, like, all these things that we learned where you're like, wow, America's such a great country, because look at us boys and girls standing hand in hand together, you know, to, like, no, like, it's not like that at all, and, like, a lot of people feel, like, oppressed and, like, different things. That, like, they really shouldn't be feeling, especially in this country that wants to say, you know, we're for the free. No, you're not.
We're different.
No, you're not. Like, there's a huge contradiction. Like Alexander Hamilton said. He said, what was the song? Nonstop. I'm not going to sing it because Haley does not like Hamilton because she's weird. Me, personally, I'm a Hamilton stan. Life and death.
Liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
he did say where it was like, when he was talking about the U.S. Constitution, he was like, it's full of contradictions. And what did Hamilton say? He said, so is independence. Because at the same time, everything contradicts itself. Even with the Declaration of Independence, where they're like, guys, like, independent from Britain, it was, what, we the people, blah, blah, all of this stuff for the Constitution. But then it's like, we the people, except for African Americans. You guys, still slaves. You know what? Not even just that, you're not even human. You are 3/4 of a person. To me, that's crazy. Because first of all, what science made you ever think about this? Sigmund Freud was right. No, I agree with you.
Back it, to Sigmund Freud.
It always goes back. Sigmund, if he was here, he would be turning, tossing and turning, tossing and turning each night.
Sigmund Freud! Sigmund Freud, what did you do? He took over your body. Tossing and turning right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I don't even know what I choked on.
I gotta regroup.
I'm gonna cut that out because, oh my god, that was.
Just stop the recording right there.
That was horrendous. No, that was horrendous. But as I was saying, to kind of loop this back in, because we're obviously going on so many different tangents, with religion itself, it just seems like every time there is a different part of religion that's brought in, it's just seen as something that's like so scary, so dangerous, something that we shouldn't even try. So with the mosque aspect, I was just really upset about it because I was like, no, look, I would like to hear this. It's kind of like a touch from home. And like, it was just crazy to me of like, you know, how people were thinking of it in their point of view. Like, what do you think about other people? They feel like they don't even belong in America, and you're helping them feel like that because of the fact that you don't even want them to, like, it's something so simple as just, hey, it's prayer time, like in our native tongue, for them to say, no, like, we don't want to do this. This is, look what it's going to cause. This is sick. This is blah, blah, blah. And it's just crazy to me because, like, at the same time, you see, like, Christmas trees, like, during December, you see them everywhere and, like, everything is decorated and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it's really crazy to me to see that. And I also wanted to bring up the point where, like, they kind of say it's like this, because it was like this for the longest time and blah, blah. No, because that's crazy, because now you're not even acknowledging the Native Americans who have been here for so many years. Not to even think about the fact that, like, not even to talk about the fact that, like, there has been so many genocides and mass, like, genocides and mass movings and different things. Not even just talking about the Trail of Tears, but talking about so many different things.
And things where, that are still coming up now.
Yeah, especially now, too. And, like, you see with, like, the mortality rate in women, who are Native American and, like, their communities and everything. It's just scary to see how America kind of just doesn't want to acknowledge any of this stuff. And I feel like in order to talk about this stuff, we have to all be open-minded. We can't just say, like, hey, you know, like, well, I'm stuck in my ways because I grew up this way and I'm this person and I'm blah, blah, blah. But then, like, also it's scary because a lot of people are like that. And, you know, it's whether or not it's because of the news or because of their parents. Or
they don't
like
the idea of change.
Yeah. And, like, it's just this country is based off of change. But for some reason, we're stuck in this one way where we're not changing at all. And it's just kind of, like, it's scary. So, yeah. I know I talk too much, but what would you like to add?
Yeah.
Thanks so much. But yeah, I wanted to also loop this back in off of this tangent. I wanted to go back to the fact of religious versus non-religious and different things. I feel like what also plays a role in, especially teens, in when they're figuring out if they are religious or what they are, they kind of go off of what other people tell them. Because I mean, like, you know, like me, like if someone saw me from a different point of view or something, they could easily say, oh, she's not religious because she doesn't pray 5 times a day or because she doesn't wear a hijab. But then I'm like, I don't have to wear a hijab to say that I'm Muslim, you know, like that's not what I am right now. Like, I'm Muslim, but I don't have to wear a hijab. My mom wears a hijab, but she wasn't forced, and that's a whole different argument, because at the same time, I love my mom and I love my family in the way that they didn't force it on me. My grandma didn't force it on my mom, different things like this. But also when I'm growing up, a lot of people are like, oh, she's not religious, or oh, she's not in tune with her culture and her religion because this and this and this. But like, also it's my own brain. So do you see this as well in your community, where it's the people kind of shaping your mind into saying that, oh, maybe you're not religious because, I don't know, you don't go to church this many times, or you don't do this, or certain things, like how you dress or different things?
Well, I feel like a lot of people...
Mike, thank you.
I feel like a lot of... I feel like a lot of people go based off of, like, what they grow up with. It's basically just what their parents go from. Once your parents have decided what they are, they start, you know, taking you to church, taking you to the mosque, all that stuff. And you just grow up with it. And then, like, once you're old enough, or, like, when you move out or anything, you start to decide, like, who you are, and you're like, wait, do I really believe this? Do I trust this? Do I accept this? All this stuff. And so I always think it's interesting the way that religious people look at it, because plenty of people will leave the Christian Catholic community because it's very strict. They have a lot of, like, things to them that people don't like. So once people actually decide to leave that for whatever reason they do, those same Christians, Catholics are so, like, not accepting. They're like, oh my gosh, she, like, they just left because of, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're not accepting that, like, oh, this wasn't for them. Like, and I can understand, because religion can be, like, a very huge, like, role in your life, but I think it's, like, weird about that. And I also think it's so backwards that it's supposed to be, like, a loving community, and, like, you guys, like, look after each other, you care for each other, you know, you pray together, anything like that. But it's, at least the people, I know that religion can be a very beautiful thing, but I think the biggest issue is the people, because so many people will teach it differently or, like, say certain things, when it's, like, in the big aspect, it's just, like, you know, God loves you, you know, follow these rules, you know, like, don't kill people, you know, like, respect other people, yet people, like, that's the biggest thing, is just, like, one of the, like, Ten Commandments was, like, treat your neighbor as yourself, or something like that.
Love thy neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah,
not me knowing.
yeah, love your neighbor as yourself, but then all I see is, like, so many Christians and Catholics, like, hating on people who are not Christian or Catholic or anything of the sort. Even if they are, they're like, well, you don't believe what I believe, so you're wrong. And it's quite backwards, and I don't understand it. And that's why I have, like, an issue with, like, going to church. I've been going to church a lot less, unless, like, my parents are like, all right, we're going, let's go. So I'm like, okay. but yeah, I don't have an issue with the religion. It's just the people in general. That's my final thought.
And cut. but yeah, it's really interesting to see how people kind of shape you with that, and especially, like, how, you know, like, you can see contradictions or certain things in the Bible, or how people, you know, like, read the things in the Bible, especially, because I see that with Islam as well, going on, because, you know, happy Pride, guys!
In the mic, actually.
You know, happy Pride, guys, but you see it as, like, you know, like, with religion, it's kind of this thing is, like, they use it as this safety blanket on saying, well, oh, I can't support you because, you know, this religion. Primary source! I'm so sorry.
Primary source!
Woo! Another primary source of lovely Red Robin. We had a coworker. We're not going to say her name. But we also have another coworker. We won't say his name either. He is, you know, gay. Woo! Happy Pride. Yeah. And so she kind of went up to him one day and said, you know, like, hey, like, I wouldn't go to your wedding because, you know, like, you're gay. And, like, I just don't believe that because of my religion and different things like this. And, like, it's fine if you have your, you know, ways of thinking, because with me personally, I'm like, it's your opinion. Whatever your opinion is, you are entitled to it. It is a free country. And however stupid your opinion could be, to be honest, it is still your opinion. So, like, with that, it was just, like, off-putting, because why would you go up and say that to someone, you know, like, who you're not really friends with either, you know, like, you are coworkers, but, like, also you're not really friends with them. You're not very liked in the Red Robin community, but it's just kind of interesting to see how, like, you know, she kind of just brought that up. And, like, with me, it's, like, in Islam and everything, they kind of say, like, oh, well, the, like, there's a story in the Quran about gays and different things, and that's why we don't support them either. And I'm like, okay, but also, because I read that and I'm like, I think that that's a contradiction, because how I interpret it, I see it as adultery and pedophilia. I don't see it as, it's the same thing as in the Bible, how it's like, man shall not like, man shall not lay with man, but it's man shall not lay with child and different things like this. It's just kind of interesting to me because of how everyone interprets it, and that's how I interpret it. But I can't openly say that a lot among, like, my mom or, like, people who are really religious in that way, because they see it as, no, this is not how it is, this is not how it's interpreted, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of crazy because with me, I'm like, I'm going to support whoever is in front of me because, like, to be honest, I see you as human before I see you as anything else, regardless of your religion, regardless of this. Because I told my mom one time, too, it's like, you know, with a lot of people, it's like, who's to say that our religion is 100% right? Like, when we go up to God and everything and the whole judgment day happens or whatever does happen. Okay. Whatever does happen. I'm like, who's to say that we're 100% right? Because we are living among, like, so many different religions, so many different beliefs, so many different ideologies. Everything is looped around each other and everything is intertwined. I mean, like, especially with the three Abrahamic religions, with Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, you can see that there's so many, like, similarities in there. Especially, like, how I just brought up how there was a story in the Quran, and I said it was adultery and pedophilia, and, you know, like, there's the same misinterpretation in the Bible. So who's to say that we're right? Who's to say that they're right? Who's to say that any of us are right in the first place?
Who's to say there's anything after?
Literally, like, there's just... That's the whole point, and I feel like with religion, because I've been preaching this since day one, I feel like religion is there for hope, but it's been so twisted and so intertwined within culture and society and the way, who rules society? Men. White men. And just, like, how it goes on from there, so I just feel like when religion started, it was just as to explain the, you know, like, the unnatural or natural phenomena, and now it still is that way, but also it's just kind of, like, seen as this, again, safety blanket where people just use it to, like, spread their either racism or homophobia or this. And, like, another thing I'd like to bring up, another tangent. Ooh, Aisha goes on tangents all the time.
Tangent.
Another thing with, like, Mormons, like, love my Mormon friends. I love you guys. And it's just really interesting to me to see that, like, you know, they didn't start accepting black people into their community until, like, recently, and, like, that's kind of, I forgot what date it was, but here, let's look it up, actually, and we can actually see this, because I remember hearing about this somewhere, and I was really confused, because I was like, it's a religion, and I was just really confused on how you would accept and deny someone. Let's see that. When did Mormons accept?
I don't know that much stuff about Mormonism. because I had, like, a couple people I knew that were, but they were very, what's it called, relaxed in it, I guess you could say. Like, they didn't follow, like, every little thing about it, but I just knew there was, like, a lot of, like, little, what's it called, little things that they have to follow, like, you can't even drink, like, coffee and stuff like that, and I was like, what? Insane.
Yeah.
Insane in the membrane.
I'm looking at Wikipedia right now because I just wanted to see this real quick, and it was called Black
Not
People
a liable
Mormonism.
Source. Not a primary source.
Not a primary source. It says from the mid-1800s to 1978, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS Church, prevented most men of black African descent from being ordained to the church. The church's lay priesthood barred black men and women from participating in ordinances of its temples and opposed interracial marriage. Since black men of African descent could not receive the priesthood, they were excluded from holding leadership roles and performing these rituals. However, in 1978, the first presidency of the Quorum of the Twelve issued official Declaration 2, which officially ended the LDS Church's temple and priesthood restrictions. This is kind of just crazy to me because, I mean, like, with this, Mormonism especially came from a different viewpoint on Christianity and a different viewpoint on religion itself. They're still Christians at the end of the day, but I'm just saying, like, it's just kind of crazy how you can just deny someone just for being a certain skin color, but, hey, that person believes what you believe. Why can't we just see them as that? And that's just kind of, like, I don't know, that's just kind of, like, crazy to me how people can see it as that. And see to something so little as just the color of your skin or what you choose to wear, what you don't choose to wear, different things like this. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. I'm always someone who fights to say, like, you know, everyone is human. Let's treat them as such, because at the end of the day, that's how you love each other. And that's how we can continue on and, like, actually have a prosperous, you know, like, society. And I don't want my kids to grow up in a society where they feel like they're left out just because of either the color of their skin or the fact that they're Muslim or anything, really, because, I mean, that's just crazy. Like, I don't want any kid, I don't want any of my enemies, I don't want anyone to grow up how I grew up, with the way that, like, I was bullied in middle school for just simply being Muslim. I didn't even wear a hijab, but when people found out that I was or saw my mom walking around with me wearing one, it's all the 9/11 jokes, all the terrorist jokes, all the Arab jokes, all the different things that came out of it. That's so crazy in this awful, awful world. But yeah, I always like to add that, especially when I'm talking about religion, that we all have our differences, but it's really important to first see these differences, because it's not, you're not blind to it. It is there in front of you. But while you're acknowledging these differences, have that open mind. And this is my closing statement. Just have that open mind, be able to open your heart, open your mind, open everything basically to talk to this person or talk to this community or group. And I feel like that would help us so much more with just like continuing going on in the society. Maybe we'll actually have better laws, better political things, human rights, different things like this that could help just from a simple conversation of you being open-minded, the other person being open-minded, and you both listening to each other and vice versa. Any closing arguments? LOL. Sorry, I was in debate. Closing arguments. I miss it. I really do. Any closing statements you would like to add?
Just mind your goddamn business. I don't know where...
God! See? She used God!
Sorry, mind your... I'm just kidding. Mind your business, please. I don't remember where I got this from, but I... Like, religion-wise, I remember somebody saying, like... Without, like, certain people's, like, teachings or whatever, it should have been, like, at the end of the day, like, after you die, if God is real, like, your sins should be between you and him. Like, it's really nobody's business, like, what you're doing. All of us are sinners. We all do wrong things, whatever you think is wrong in your brain. But we all do something wrong, so why are you to go out and... like point at people and say you're wrong, you're going to hell, like there's something wrong with you, don't do the things that you do, like it's none of your business. Just do your own thing, that's it.
If we all just minded our business, we'd have a loving world. All right, and that is it from Sistine Chapel. Woo! Teens. religion through the teens' eyes.
Chapel.
Cue to music. You play, baby. Oh,
not now.
Thought you'd always be mine. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
When I was 13, I had my first love. There was nobody to compare to my baby, and nobody came between us, no kid ever come above. She had me going crazy, oh, I was starstruck. She woke me up daily, don't need no Starbucks. She made my heart pound. It's skipping beat when I see her in the street, and it's cool on the playground. But I really want to see her on the weekend. She knows she got me dazing, cause she was so amazing. And now my heart is breaking, but I just keep on saying things.